Welcome everybody back to another episode of Stripped Raw. Today I'm joined in a group coaching session with some of my close brothers. Everybody knows Fred. Fred and I have always been together 20 years now, and that's awesome. 20 years. And the illustrious Cobra, Corey Mack. Right. We've been together for 20 years, and between the three of us, we've traveled the planet, traveled life, all of it. You guys were there, Cobra, you were there for taking pictures of my kid as soon as he was out of the womb. So we have a lot of longevity between us. What do they call it? Petunia and steel.
It's awesome. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And tonight we're joined with Kyle.
Yes, sir.
This is part of the coaching session. Kyle is the son of a military father. He's actually one of our bosses. He's one of our chiefs, one of our E9s. How old are you now, Kyle?
21 years old.
Tender 21. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, fresh.
How's life treating you?
It's treating me pretty well.
Yeah?
Can't complain.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
The last time you and I talked, we were, I think it was about a year ago?
Yeah, I would say so.
Over the phone?
Yeah.
Your dad was downrange. Cobra was there with him. Fred and I were back stateside. Dad was dealing with some real stuff, and you were dealing with some real stuff. I want to get your gauge. So you are not in the military, but you're a family member of the military. Direct son, lineage, your dad's been in for, man, your dad's about 100 now, so.
Yeah, I don't even know how long. Too long.
Yeah, too long. Ever since you were born, right?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
So since the day you were born, till you can walk, talk, find your own food, all the way up to the point where you're at now, where you typically on a night like this, you'd be out getting sloshed with all your buddies, yeah?
Not really, no.
10 or 21, not getting sloshed? Good for you.
No, that's what awesome. You did.
don't be like Fred.
No, it's Monday. Just get ready for the week.
Okay. But about a year ago, you were going through some things, if you don't mind us tearing this open.
Yeah.
You were going through some things, and your dad couldn't answer. I mean, it was 7 o'clock here, but where he was on the other side of the world, it was earlier in the morning, so we couldn't answer those phone calls. Walk me through that, if you don't mind.
Just growing up, mostly my father's been the person that I'm always going to, so I would say it was kind of a lonely chapter. You know, there's no one to look to but yourself. I was in a good position, though. It's a good position to have you as somebody to be able to come and talk to and just shoot a call and get some advice.
Well, also, if you were to think about it, going through that time in your life, not only did you have your dad going downrange deployment, but also at the same time, your brother, your twin brother, even though you guys came out of the womb, you're fraternal twins.
Yeah.
Your brother Chance, he goes off, right? He joins the Air Force and he's away. So you went from a house that had two other male masculine figures inside of it to none. So now you have to be the leader inside that house. And I do think that's where a lot of your struggles came from.
Yeah, definitely.
How did it feel to you knowing that all of a sudden you had all of this influence around you and it disappeared?
For me, it was pretty hard. I would say, again, father has always been someone I've been going to. But I'd say losing my brother is something that I've never experienced. I mean, we're twins. We've been together like 21 years of our life, some of it. And just run the upper route and go do his thing, it was pretty hard. I was doing solo dolo, so I'm, again, having to come to myself and make these decisions. And it was rough, I would say. But I got through it.
Yeah. How do you feel now?
I feel a lot better. You know, it's been months since my brother's been gone, so we've been able to establish good relationship, and I've been accustomed to honestly being solo. It's definitely different than what I'm used to, but you know, we're still going.
So what were the struggles you're talking about?
That's what I want to know.
That's where we were going. Yeah.
Okay.
If
I were to rewind, just really wasn't having a good time. You know, I was, having some parent issues that I really wasn't having good time with. I didn't have anybody to go to for them. Without my brother, I was taking on tasks that I normally would do with him. For my whole life, it was usually if I had a problem, I'd go talk to my brother, and I just couldn't talk to him.
What were you talking about?
We would always just talk about each other, always have our backs, things that we're going through, daily struggles through the day. So just not being able to do that was very lonely, I would say.
Do you feel like that's something that shouldn't have happened to you?
No, right. I think it was a good thing.
All right. So what we've learned is at a certain point for young boys, when you cross over, it's just a rite of passage. Life has to suck a little bit, maybe a lot, because what you do with it and how you move forward is going to be how the world sees you. You know, obviously they are going to call you a kid because you're 21, but they also called you a man when you turned 18, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's like lose-lose. No matter what, people are going to kind of hold you into the position that's least comfortable and see what you can produce from it. So when you start to produce, that's when you gain your value, you know? And so, yeah, man, that's definitely a necessary part of life. It's just the tip of the iceberg. We've learned that life continues to spin. Like nobody tells you, like they say you could be an astronaut. Yeah, you know, yeah, maybe. But whatever you do, it's going to get more and more difficult. So you have to get bigger and bigger to be able to handle those spikes in negativity or whatever, bad energy in life. So they won't go away, though. So you have to adjust and grow, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that viewpoint. I was just going to say, I think the harder that I've had to come to realize is the harder the things are, the better the other side is going to look. Like
nothing comes good easy, right?
Yeah, no.
Right. And so when you look at, can you give a specific example of something that sucked that you had to grow through and how you grew through it? Specifically, say like you said you had to do tasks that you would normally split. Obviously, now it's just you having to do them. What did you have to do inside to find a place to climb that mountain, so to speak, you know?
For me, it was honestly, it was having parenting issues. I was going through something with my mom that I wasn't grasping. I was still viewing it as my mom, like, my mom, why would this happen, my mom? But then at the end of the day, I had to come to a realization that my mother was a human. And she can have her own actions and you can do her own things. So without having my brother, I've always had, like, from start, always being with him to just being myself, I think the struggle of that was just a lot on its own. Had nobody to turn to and just dealing with something like that.
When you say that mother issues, is she still in your life?
Yeah, she's absolutely still in my life. It's just she decided to make a decision that I didn't really agree with, having to do with something with my stepfather. And it was very hard to grasp and take being her child.
Okay. Are we just bouncing around or is it something you don't want to talk about?
Not really bouncing around. Okay. Basically, my stepfather is just somebody that I'm really not the greatest fan of. And she took it upon herself to get back with him. So... And I didn't really like that, but, you know, I was like, oh, no, don't, whatever. Then just one day it hit me. It's like, she's human. So she's going to do what she's going to do no matter what, no matter how I feel, even though I am her child.
Fair enough.
Man, that's pretty relatable around the room. I don't know about you guys.
No, absolutely. Did you feel like when she made that decision, like she kind of chose him over you or, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, she did. Because I talked to her about it, and she told me she took a risk that was she knew whether or not her kids were going to follow with her or not. She took it on her own, and I mean,
You think that's what made you kind of spiral, like
a little bit? Yeah, I was just like I couldn't fathom it. You know, after everything, I couldn't fathom that she did it. But it took a while to actually realize like. That's what she's going to do and there's nothing I can do about it. Then I started to get a clearer vision, a clearer head and like, okay, there's more ways to tackle this problem.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as a man relating to women, now that you're a man, even if it's your mother, there's a level of like, we protect women. She can do whatever stupid things she wants to do. You're just going to be there in her corner and protect her from what as much as you can of it, you know? And that's part of, you know, manning up, you know what I mean? It's not fair, but nothing's ever going to be fair anyway. So that's a heck of a way to go through that, though.
Yeah.
Sorry for that segue. Let's continue.
No, I think it was a necessary segue, too, though, just to kind of unpack that. You know?
Yeah, I think what a lot of us may not understand is, so when Kyle comes out of the womb with Chance, you guys have been learning how to walk together, to piss in a toilet together. Let's call it for what it is, you know, potty training at the same time, eating refried beans at the same time, trying new foods at the same time. And
yeah,
your brother goes off and you're feeling this thing and you don't have anybody to shout out to. Nobody to bump those notes with, if you think about it.
Yeah, right.
And then with your dad being out, so there's nobody really relate to. And what I saw in those conversations is you're ready to fight the whole world because there's nobody to converse with. Especially after 20 years, you've had somebody who understands that's, you know, that's your brother. And that's your brother that you grew in womb with, right?
Yeah.
So understands when something's out of tone with you, even non-verbally. And then he's gone. The cool thing for me is, you know, when we had those conversations, you entrusted within me, based through your dad, in this thing that that we've built here with Stripped Raw, that you could open up. And I think ultimately that was the one of the things that I told you, because you said nobody cares, and I said, man, I care. I'm right here talking to you on the phone. Like, I could be over here getting my sucked, and
yeah,
I'm on the phone call conversation with you, and it's Friday night, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for, and I think a lot of guys, it's to their own detriment. They think inside of their own minds, because they've been hurt somewhere along in the past, that they can't open up to other guys. But I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. There's never been a time that I've been in the gym and asked a guy for a spot. He won't give me a spot.
Yeah, right.
There's never been a time when I was in the Lowe's parking lot and I asked for a jump on my truck. And if a guy had jumper cables, he's going to jump me. Like, they're going to go either way. We will help each other, but we think inside of our own minds. We're self-inflicting wounds on ourselves that there's nobody out there. Fred, do you think that there's people out there that'll help you?
I just think that's a different experience for me. I know I've been on the side of the road plenty of times, and, you know, it just is what it is. Averaging one per stop, I guess somebody's there. And typically it will be a man that stops for you. You know, so yes, there is a brotherhood of good men, you know, and I'm one of those guys that make sure that when I see somebody having car trouble, I lend my expertise, because I'm always ready to help somebody, you know. But even if that doesn't exist, even if you don't have some network of guys or didn't have it, the whole point of this is to offer that, to bring it to the light, because again, if we change the perspective of masculinity and realize it's really a brotherhood. It's kind of like when we were all young and married in our 20s, we all went through the same spousal issue, I want to say, where it was like the wife, she's also young, is asking, why do you spend so much time with him instead of me? And we're like, well, it's just the homie. Like, we just do stuff. You know, even if it's nothing, we're going to, you know, it's like you have to, nobody told me that, but you have to carve away that time. And not just do what's naturally easy. Men, we naturally stick together thick as thieves. You know, you figure out if he's got one thing you like, you can build on that. And you make a office relationship with a homie where it's like you go bowling this night, you do that the other night, and all of a sudden, it's like you've been friends your whole life. You know, women don't do that. They don't click together like that, you know. So it's natural for men to kind of want to be around each other because how we process.
To build a pact.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, we got a pact.
We process things differently. And so, and this is getting into the wrong amount of subject, but I would just say that there is a true decision when you choose to be the man you have to be, not the man you want to be, so to speak. You know what I mean? So even if you don't get the same respect or whatever, it doesn't give you an excuse to not be a good man, right?
Yeah.
No, there's no excuses out there. I mean, that's the beautiful thing of masculinity, constantly holding yourself accountable when you do get to that level. And I mean, I think, Kyle, you did that.
I would just go back to, I think, what you said when I told you that nobody cares. I think that's an easy thing. I think that is a very easy way that some people take when times are tough, because they know the help's out there. They just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was for me.
It's the work. The work to reach out, the work to have that conversation, the work when you do have that conversation. That was one of the things with Corey and I. when I would call him at midnight with the same point that I brought to him 10 times in the last 7 days over and over, because I'm just beating my head against the wall because that's the way I'm built. And then finally he would like, oh, here's your solution, or this is the way that we can work about it. And I didn't want to hear that because I didn't want to do the work.
Right. But so also, to think about it, you know, as young as he is right now, or as young as you are right now, at that point in time in your life, you are transitioning into, you know, from young man to man. Like what Fred said earlier, you know, at one point you're 18 years old, they're calling you a man, 21 years old, now they're calling you a kid, right? So there is that conflict. But what I noticed when I was that young was it was hard for me to ask for help because I feel like I shouldn't need to ask for help anymore because everybody's telling me I'm a man now, right? So at that age in my life, I'm thinking a man doesn't need to ask for help. Does that make sense? And I feel like I should be able to handle everything myself. So we have this sense of control. And I realized that I took that same mindset into relationships, friendships, and all that stuff. So when you talk about like with your mom, and in your head, you're beating it into your conversations with her about, you know, don't go back with this guy, don't go back with this guy. And she does it anyway. And subconsciously, as a man, you're thinking like, man, like I don't have any control of the situation. Like I should have some type of pull or some type of a voice here. And it's like, I don't have nothing, you know? And I do think it takes a little bit of time, a little bit of experience, and a little bit of people in your life that you build a pack with that can kind of, you know, coach you through that. Because I think every man is going to go through that phase of, I should be able to control this situation. I should be a man, and this is what a man is. And then something slaps you in the face to say, yeah, everything you thought it was going to be is not that, you know, and then you have to kind of relearn things.
You know? Yeah, yeah. So if you were to specifically come to me, if a person comes to me and says, my mom is doing X, Y, and Z, my next question is more like, is she grown? If that's the case, do you love her still? If that's the case, then let her be, man.
Let her be. This,
yeah, you know, it's part of it. You know, you right. can't control things. It's not, you know, I think that's a breakdown in society's view of what a man was, to say that you have to process things alone. You couldn't ask for help, this or the other. And yeah, there is some standard where it's like, you know, you should probably just do some push-ups instead of crying about that. But there are acceptable reasons to cry as well. You just mm-hmm. do that in a way that doesn't spoil, I would say, people's respect for you.
Yeah.
You know, so can't cry about not being able to fix a jet. That would be the wrong reason to cry. But if my mother dies, that is a reason to cry. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Sure. What are your thoughts, Kyle?
I agree.
How do you feel about crying? Let me ask you that.
How do I feel about crying?
Yeah.
I don't shy away from it. I think it's a natural thing. And I also find times if I were to suppress my crying or my emotions, there's like this, I don't know how to describe it. There's like this another version of me inside that just wants to get out, but it doesn't come out, honestly. And sometimes unless I cry, like there's this built up aggression that doesn't come out. And I think crying is a good way to get it out without being a negative outburst, doing something that you shouldn't or doing something that you don't want to do because you're under the influence of these emotions.
I think people harp on the tears, you know, they harp on the tears too much. And to me, that's irrelevant. That's just the way it comes out, whatever that emotion is. But to me, what's more important is what you do afterwards. You know what I mean? If you, like we talked about it before on the podcast, and if you're crying without a plan, then that's weird to me. You know, like you should, if you cry, that's cool. But like, have a plan, you know,
and do about it
what you're going to do about it, you know? Yep. And that's like what Fred was saying, like respectable. That is respectable. You know what I mean?
But, you know, for the reasons why or whatever, again, I mean, I can honestly say I've cried at a movie one time, you know, it was at Hugh Jackman with the robot and the little boy.
That was a good movie.
You know, it was tearjerker, you know, it's like, man, you know, I get emotional about things like that, but you know, it wasn't like I was weeping. It's just, it was an emotional release that I got to have, you know, special moment with a father and a son, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that's, it's not, we're human, right? We express emotions and everything else. It's the ability to be bigger than our emotions, i.e. have a plan, despite like tonight, I got off the plane. I'm sick, you know, I don't feel good. My whole body is sweaty but chilled. You know, like I don't really want to be doing anything.
Put a microphone in your face. Yeah.
Right, right. But at the same time, I'm committed to this more than I'm committed to whatever's going on. You know what I mean? So I'm going to make my best attempt to be a part of whatever y'all got going here, you know?
Yeah. And Kyle, it's like to you, you know, the conversations we had before, the conversations we have now, this is like your community, your village. It takes a village, no matter what. There'll never be judgment. Even when you had those conversations with me over the phone, you know, we talked for a couple hours over several days, but it's like, I understand that. I had that with Corey. I had that with Fred. I had it with your dad on certain occasions too, you know. And one of the stigmas that we need to break down is that no, I don't want to use the word like trauma too much, but like no trauma is small trauma. Because even 10 or 21, you're still a man. And even if it's something as simple as, I'm going to say simple because that's my own regard to it. I'm not taking away from it. There's no disrespect. But it's like your mom made a decision to be with this other guy. I mean, that's something that still hurts you, right?
Yeah.
It's real. It'll cause cancer inside your body if you don't get it out. And I think it's one of the derelict things happening in society where guys aren't talking about these certain things that are just impeding on them. Or at least they don't feel like they have a community where they can talk about it.
I think that goes with the crying thing too. Like if you don't have an outlet, which I am very grateful to have laid out with you guys. And yeah, that phone call we had, I've never met you in my life. And with an hour, I'm telling you my whole life story. So I think creating a community with you and anybody is pretty good, having somebody to open up to. But also not having somebody to open up to, like, what are you going to do with all this built up aggression? I think having a community is a good way to get it out.
Hey, fellas, we got a little question here in the chat. I want to kind of shoot it out at y'all here. It's kind of an interesting perspective. It says, how do you take concept of control and masculinity? Understanding that you can't control anyone but yourself, how do you still show up, process those emotions, and still protect when you don't want to? What does that look like? Anybody got any ideas about that?
Yeah, well, still protect when you don't want to. You're always protecting your mind.
Yeah, I don't know that I never don't want to.
Yeah.
It's embedded.
Yeah. It's embedded in the good ones, I guess. Mm. But there is a, I guess that would be the level of sacrifice. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing. And I've always said, typically, the big things are the little things anyway, right? So if you're in a relationship and you're fighting over big stuff like rent money or where we're going to live, like that's huge stuff. That kind of settles itself out. It's not something you're going to fight over and over and over again. But like the little things like not cleaning up after you shave or not washing the dishes when you finish eating, those little things, those become the big issues that actually kind of take the weight of the relationship. So being there sacrificially or whatever you want to call it is not a, it's not a choice, I guess. I guess you can choose not to do it, but if a man cares about something, he's going to protect it.
Yeah, it's one for sure. That's love, in my opinion. That's love. I wish we can get a more specific example to that question. Because it seems kind of vague, but like as soon as you read that question, I think all of us thought the same thing. You know? That's something that's not really turned off. I don't know how to not do that, you know. So even like probably daily, there's things that you don't want to do that you do it anyway. You know, you still.
Yeah, but protecting is not one of those things. Right, I'm more than happy to pull a gun or whatever need be done to make sure that what I need to protect is protected. That's exciting for me. Now
I relish in it.
Can't wait. Ooh, somebody broke in. Be right back. You know, but that's again, that is a characteristic that you learn to accept. You learn to grow into. And I mean, obviously men can pass it down to other men. As you're 21 years old, brother, like your dad is probably instilling in you some things that you don't even know how serious that instruction is until you get a kid, a wife, you know, and then it's like, oh, that's what he meant by that, you know. But he's going to continue to be that example for you.
Even in my daily life, I'd be like, damn, dad was right. Just like, I may not get it today, but in a few weeks from now, that advice you gave me is going to hit. I'm be like, damn, dad was right.
Yeah.
But also, when we were talking with your brother, so your brother came on the podcast about a year ago.
Yeah.
And he said, and it was something that your dad, Matt, talked about. Chance said, you know, there's sometimes, you know, I've seen my dad evolve into the man that he is now, the dad that he is now, and he understands in a better way. And it was like, kind of like, what are you talking about? And Matt, afterwards, he said, you know, there were a lot of things that I didn't do. I didn't take those opportunities, and I'm still learning and I'm still growing, which was like, hell yeah, that's awesome. Because even for me, I'm not a big video game guy, right? I don't like video games, but what I learned was when I sit with my 8-year-old while he's playing Fortnite or whatever it is, he's having subconscious conversations with me about things in the day. Sure, he's like looking at a target consciously and he's like firing away on his screen. But at the same time, we're talking about his day and he's unloading things without any walls in the way. And it's something simple like that where I think Matt, he was like, yeah, I could like sit down next to my kid and I could play like a video game with him, or at least just show an interest in something that it really isn't his interest, but it's his job and it's his responsibility as dad, as man, to get engaged in those situations when he sees some light to have that conversation, which was pretty awesome for me. And that's, to me, it's like, as a dad myself, it's my responsibility to constantly grow, and my kid allows me or ask the right questions or in that regard to continuously grow as a father. So I have to ensure his environment feels safe enough for him to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I can attest to what Chance was saying. I think for my father to evolve, I think that one of the bigger things would have to be emotion and just like how a human is like interacts, I guess. I think depression was something that he didn't quite grasp the concept of until maybe me or my brother, we've had these issues we ran into, and he just had to evolve. He had to be like, take a step back and be like, okay, this is actually a real thing. I should probably dive into this and see what's going on.
Yeah. Well, your dad came from like the World War II era, right? From the
40s? Yeah.
He came from back then.
That's
and
crazy.
Back then you had to, you know, when you're feeling a certain way, you go outside and you dig a ditch to take all your aggression out, right?
Yeah.
Where you find some dork at the bar like Fred and you take all your aggression out at him and put him in the floorboard. That's just, that's what you do back then.
I think those are the things that he was talking about relishing. I think that's that. I think that's one of those examples, right?
I like the sound of that.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Now, so let me ask this on a more personal note. What are you struggling with? What are you struggling with right now? What's your, besides being interviewed here tonight, let's peel back some skin on it. Like, what are you?
I think for right now, the biggest struggle right now is where I'm going to go in life. I think it's more enhanced for me because honestly, the last sibling left in the house. My sister's a registered nurse. She lives in her own house. My brother just shipped away to Las Vegas in the Air Force. And here I am. I played baseball at a junior college, and I still have to find that next step of getting recruited to a 4-year school. And then again, finding a degree, finding a major, and just really just that next pivot step to where my life is going to go. I think that's one of the harder things I'm struggling with right now.
So that is a, I would say that is, it's got some internal weight, but it's more of an external thing. That's more of a painting the picture of what you're going to look like in society. But I'm more speaking like on the inside, like what do you want to learn from this? Because we can't help you with that. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
To, you know.
I think right now is just being able to stay consistent. I think when you wake up and you just want to do absolutely nothing, which is sometimes how I wake up, but I know that I need to do things. What are things that you do to just keep yourself going?
You have to write a plan out. You have to write a plan out. Tell them about the plan, Cole.
Tell them about the plan. Tell them about the gun line, boss. No, but seriously, though, he's absolutely right about that. Everything that you've ever thought about had a plan to it. Even you're a baseball player, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure all your coaches had a plan in the beginning of the season as to what workouts were going to look like, what practices were going to look like, even as far as like going to a game, whether or not y'all rode the bus, whatever, everything had a plan, a structure, you know. And it may be kind of hard for you now because now you're an adult and you're going to college, you know, you're about to be transitioning to being on your own. Whereas before, everybody wrote plans for you, and you just followed them. Now you had to come up with your own plans. But that's the constant plans. You need a plan, you know? So if you need help with like structuring a plan, then that's something, you know what I mean? But you absolutely need a plan, something to follow, you know?
Let me tell you what my brother taught me about that. He's a real estate investor as well. And he said, 70% of a plan is more than 0% of no plan. You don't plan to be perfect. Yeah. You don't plan as everything's gonna just shoot for something. Make an idea. Maybe when you get halfway there, you want to change direction. You at least got 50% of that plan done. Waking up and letting the sun lead you every day like a nomad, you can definitely get nothing done in a day doing that. But even if it's like you got to mimic somebody else's plan for the time being, or as a semi-pro athlete, you could be honing your skills. If nothing else, I know I'm going to throw 1,000 balls in a week. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever you got to do. Just so one thing I know I'm going to do is I'm going to check off the physical part of my checklist. I'm going to make sure that I'm in my sleep. I can make, what position you play?
I'll play outfield.
I like that. That's the home plate right there on your hat.
No, so it does look like it though. It's a field. It is a baseball brand.
Okay. So you play outfield. So
yes, sir.
Hell, you know, like there's so many skills you need to have that, you know, I don't know if you got a machine that can hit the ball for you. You can chase them down or whatever. But even if it's just learning how to run up on a ball that's rolling, scoop it and send it all the way to home, you know, but the faster you can do it, the less they're going to want to hit to you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure.
So you can take that as your identity until it doesn't work anymore. And you could hone in on being a better baseball player. Just first of all, doing that. Part of that is being a better son, being more responsible, which means, hey, doing the chores you got to do. Before you get asked, you know what I mean? Like, and you'll understand that part when you get kids, but like leaning forward and doing the things you already know somebody's going to ask you to do only makes them trust you more, you know? And in your free time, you spend that time honing what it is that you think you are. And if you decide baseball isn't a thing, that's a perfectly legitimate reason to not do that. But I think it still is, right?
Yeah.
So write down an idea. Literally, all you need is a mirror and a dry erase marker. That's how all plans start. You know what I mean? And just put out 30 check marks or 30 squares for the days of the month. And every day that you do what you're supposed to do, you put a check mark. You just get obsessed with getting that check mark today. And in 30 days, you will be like, well, that's a done goal. What's next, you know?
And now that 30 days has become part of your routine. That's not even part of the plan. You know, to an extent, that's just who you are now. So, when I first started working out, that was a thing for me. You know, like I needed a plan to go to the gym, to know what I'm doing while I'm in the gym. And now, at this point now, that's just a part of my daily routine. It's not something that I have to, that's just what I do, you know? So now I wake up, I know what I'm doing, you know, and I'll just add things on the back end to my daily plan or whatever it is, you know, but.
Yeah. It's taking control of your life. Your time. And what these guys are talking about is, you know, you don't know what you're going to do. What am I going to do professionally? Or, you know, these people, they have houses. I'm going to tell you this. And it's the same advice that I would give my son right now when he's 18 and he's like, Dad, I want to be a YouTuber. YouTuber's a big thing right now. Like these kids, my kid right now, he wants to be a YouTuber. My thing is, you can be a YouTuber, like dream, because you could go to school and become an accountant. And 20 years later, you can lose your job as an accountant. And you can still fail. So you can dream to be a YouTuber if you want to. Just know that when you're 38, 39 years old, you may have a bone inside of you saying, like, I want kids, naturally, biologically. And I do think that's a real thing. John Mayer has a song about it called Something's Missing.
Yeah, right.
And I do think that's what he's relating to.
Yeah, brother.
And when you're 38 or 39 and you're trying to be a YouTuber because you're investing all your time to become a YouTuber, you're working at Starbucks, what type of woman wants to lay with a 38-year-old barista, still making cappuccinos, no frap, soy cream, all that stuff. Right?
And there are women that will lay with that, but
that's true. I don't know if they, you know,
might not be the one you need. But.
Correct.
Put that little heart in.
It doesn't matter. No matter what in life, what you have to wrap your hands around and truly understand is no matter what decision you're going to make, you're going to fail. You're going to fail as you go on through life. I fail every day. Every day I fail. But I don't judge myself anymore by it. what I do is it's like, how did I fail? And then how do I get up and how do I become better from that failure? Like, I love failure now. It lets me know like what I can do to become better. I'm not scared of it. Failure is not a bad thing. So no matter what decision you make, just like these guys are telling you right now, no matter what decision you make, at least you're going after it. You're putting your balls on the table and you're getting out there and you're getting after it. That's the thing. Just get moving because your time's ticking.
I would also say, like one of the first things you mentioned when you talked about that was you talked about your sister, you talked about your brother, you talked about their accomplishments, and then you talked about what you're doing as if what you're doing is not as accomplished as what they're doing. And so I would say also you got to try to like kill that comparison thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Their path is different than your path, you know? So their path got them going their way and your path got you going your way. Maybe your path is a little slower because of, you know, where you're going, but it doesn't mean that you're not accomplishing something just as great, you know? So don't compare yourself to them because they may be moving at a different pace than what you're moving to. It doesn't matter. You still got to get up every day and execute your plan. You know what I mean?
You never know, man. And I think a lot of people out there, especially guys, they don't understand. But statistically, the human male today doesn't hit his financial or his peak until he gets about into his 40s. That's when he hits his peak.
Yeah, for sure. I've been looking at that. Yeah, brothers, we peak at 40, 45. We about to get there. You ain't even gotten nowhere, brother. And then, you know, the other ones, they peak around 20, 25, you know, and then they got to figure out how they're going to apply that, man. You're going to be... You start at the bottom of the power curve, brother. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do believe that women really, or having someone to love takes you to another level of life and validity, you know, that you can't otherwise achieve. If you were a millionaire, but you didn't have a wife or a boyfriend or whatever, people would look at you weird. Like, well, why doesn't he have somebody? You know, societally, people look at you weird, you know. And then obviously you'd have to answer the same question. Well, I'd much rather have money than to have to deal with somebody. And that's fine if that's your answer, but it's never going to be a full life to people's belief, right? Nobody's going to believe you're happy if you don't have something that I guess nails you to the floor a bit, you know? And I can agree with that, you know?
I think I agree with that too. I know a lot of people will say like, no, that doesn't apply to me, but. I don't know.
It's just not the way. We were made to be together.
Yeah.
We were made to, you know. And so that part of your life, man, I'm telling you, brother, it's once you start to figure that out, like all the things. And so, you know, you found a good woman when you start sacrificing what you worked for, you know, because that's what we do. We sacrifice, you know. And so all of a sudden your money's going the opposite direction. You got to decide, are you trying to give her half of your barista salary or are you trying to give her a quarter of your CEO salary? You know what I mean? Like, where do you want to go? What do you want to be able to offer a woman when it comes to being a man, being the man that you want to be, you know? And so that's a whole nother topic on that. But
yeah, for sure. Yeah. But like right now, you're 41, like you're still in building foundation stage. And yeah, that's all that you should be worried about is building foundation.
Yeah. How much money you got in your bank account?
Not enough.
Yeah.
Good point.
So at that point, if you don't got enough money, then you need to be focusing on that. Because part of it is you got to be able to provide for somebody besides yourself, besides the homies going to McDonald's and Taco Bell. You got to be able to provide for somebody. You know what I mean? So that's another, hey, one of my ideas of what I want to be in 10 years is I want to be the type of man that whoever I choose to take care of feels taken care of. Not, you know what I mean? And so
yeah,
if that's where you want to go with it, you know, that's a goal.
But I also think you need to do that too fast as far as like worrying about that right now. You know what I mean? I think you need 1,000% that foundation. And then once you start to hit your upper 20s and your 30s, now you're starting to strive, you know? And like you said, like you get your peak in 40 and now you're like, you're rolling, you know? But that all starts with what you did like right now.
Yeah. You don't want to be the guy talking about high school baseball.
Yeah. No. 20 years. Once upon a time, man, I was the man. Yeah.
I wouldn't even do that at this age.
Right, right.
So, cool, man. Put my fries in the bag and tell me your story.
Yeah. But for the last question I have with the plan and just having a plan and stay consistent, I would say, how do you deal with distractions that take you off track or things that want to pull you away? What are things you do to stay on track?
What type of distractions do you have at 21?
contact.
Type of distractions do I have?
Libido.
You have to label it. You have to label it. Call it for what it is, then you can deal for it, right?
Yeah.
If I had a like a no kidding jackpot answer for that right now, what I would say is instead of chasing skirts, you can have Fred come over and he'll show you how to cuddle. That's what I'd say. That's crazy. You know, he'll cure a lot of those distractions real quick.
That's crazy.
But that's crazy. Here we go. So check it out. I do believe as a young man, your ability to be comfortable around women will dictate how you find a partner in the future. So you can't have no experience, but you can't also only have that experience, you know? So there's somewhere on the spectrum between like straight virgin at 40 years old and a alpha male with no job and all the girlfriends, you know, somewhere between there, you're going to fall on that spectrum. So that's up to you to judge kind of. But what we're saying is every time you take a girl out to a $30 dinner, that's $30 you could have been putting towards building your dream car or investing in a welding class. I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're wasteful creatures, man. And we don't realize it until somebody reaches back and says, hey man, here's what I would do. So what you can do is you can sit in barbershops and you can talk to old men like us and you can take our lessons, you know, worth something and actually try to implement that. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes, but it's like books help you to stand on the shoulders of giants, you know. We're trying to be something that you can build off of so that you don't have to go down the same path exactly that you would have gone down if you hadn't had these conversations, you know.
Yeah. I would say also to get more efficient at weighing pros and cons. So that way, when you're in one of those situations, you can weigh those things rather quickly. So you end up not making a bad decision, if that makes sense. So if me dealing with this person or doing this with this person, is that going to add to or take away from my ultimate goal? And if the answer is, it's going to take away from, or it's going to be neutral, then it's like, then it's not important to do, you know, so you just don't do it, you know. That's going to be hard to do though, because of emotions, because of chemicals in a man's body at this age. I wouldn't say
don't do it. I think don't invest in it, in a sense. Like you have to figure out who you are, what you like, this or the other. Honesty is the best way to go about it. But mm-hmm. here's what it is. In this phase of your life, obviously you're not looking for a wife. So why play that game with people and make them think that you're looking for that? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously if the perfect person stumbles across your path, hopefully you're smart enough to latch onto her. But for what it is and for who you are, you'd be more appreciated in the men's community and in the women's community if you were honest about it. And surprisingly, those answers that you think are the wrong answers are not wrong at all. It's just life. We're just living, you know. So investing your time and your effort into something that you're just doing to make her think that this is a waste of your time. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Don't dance the dance, man.
That makes too much sense.
Yeah, let them know what it is, yeah.
I think another thing I think I would ask for advice is, honestly, I know this is really broad, but just staying consistent. How do you stay consistent? I think that's something I really struggle with. Like, I'll work out for like 2 days, sweet, keep going. And like maybe like the third or fourth day, I'm like, I really don't want to do this. Even with my goals being right there and I know why. And just sometimes I can't stay consistent. I just...
Do you have a goal in mind when you're...
Yeah, even when I have goals, it's just so hard sometimes to stay consistent. I don't know if I get bored or something.
What's your goal right now?
I don't know. My goal right now is for what aspect? Are you talking in general? Or
well,
like,
you say workout. So what is your
– For my goal right now is to gain strength and gain – like obviously gain speed and just have positive outcome effects for baseball. Right. Look-wise, so, I don't really care as long as I'm out.
Vague.
So how strong are you right now?
Yeah, what could you bench, bro?
Not as strong as I should.
I would say that that's the issue right there is you don't have a target. So you're shooting in the dark right now, you know. So if you want to say like, hey, I want to be able to bench 225 for X amount of reps, now you have a goal that you're chasing. opposed to just saying, I want to get stronger. What does that even mean? You know, I want to get faster. What does that mean? You know, so you got to have something, you got to have something there that you can see. It's like, this is what stronger is to me. You know, 225 for, you know, 3 reps. I want to be able to do that. Okay, cool. Now you have something to track towards that. So I think what happens with a lot of people in fitness or working out or whatever it is, they have this thing in their mind in the beginning to say, I want to do this, but they're not tracking it. And they lose, I guess, they lose motivation because they feel like they're doing it for nothing. Right. But I think there's something in men. I think it's in a lot of people, in women as well, but definitely in men. I think that once you see yourself getting closer to your target, you run faster, you go harder. You know, that's an animal kingdom as well. You know, if you go to a dog race and you watch a greyhound come out of the gates, the closer they get to that rabbit, they run faster somehow. Right. And I think the same goes for us. So if you're tracking things, the moment you see yourself getting closer to your goal, you're going to go even harder for it. There's not going to be an opportunity for you to lose interest or quit in your mind. It's not going to happen.
You know? Hey, let me ask you a question, brother. Do you read?
Not really. I find it hard to read sometimes.
Let me give you a quote about that. Hemingway, I think, said, the man who doesn't read has no advantage over the man who can't read. That should put some grit in your crawl. You see what I'm saying? Like, don't let the fact that you don't enjoy it or don't understand how to do it keep you from doing it. There's a book called The 6-Minute Morning. It'll give you 6 things to do 1 minute each every morning, basically. It's about that thick. You know, you can read it in a weekend, and technically, you know, I wasn't a reader for a long time. Now I have my own small library. You know what I mean? Not a lot, but just stuff, you know. So you have to get past that idea of I don't read, because you're missing a lot of opportunities to learn things just through books. Your lack of discipline to the plan, you're going to have to find a way to either motivate yourself to be disciplined or say screw motivation. Because what top-tier business owners, in my opinion, top-tier men do is they piss away with motivation.
Yes,
I'm calculated.
Discipline.
I'm calculated. This is me. I need to. If you come home from whatever you're doing and put on your running shoes, what would you do next?
Running.
Maybe go for a run, right? So make sure you put on your running shoes. If you wake up in the morning and you drive to the gym, do you sit in the parking lot and get your workout there? Or since you're already at the parking lot, why not just get on the treadmill right quick? And then while I'm on the treadmill, let me work on this. You know, you have to break yourself down in a system that works for you, you know. And honestly, man, you, that consistency thing, if you're not writing it down, if you don't have it on the mirror, every time you go to the bathroom, you should see how many check marks you made this week. It'll make you feel bad if you only get 3 check marks.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have 5.
1,000%. Yeah.
So you got 4 weeks in a month. You want to get 4 check marks a week. Right. And that'll give you 16. That'll give you 16 days of being what you want to be, which is more than half of the month. You see what I'm saying? And what are your responsibilities right now? Are you
responsibility is as in what? Like I have to do on a daily basis?
Yeah. You wake up and what do you got to do?
Right now, I don't have to do anything.
Oh, perfect, brother.
Yeah, so right now, I've been just trying to, like today before I came on, I just hit off the baseball, and then I did work out. So just kind of literally like what we talked about earlier, just honing in on the things that I can do to better myself as a baseball player. Then I got the daily chores, and then other than that, nothing.
You need to find some...
No, tell them about the dry erase board. Tell them about your dry erase board.
Well, man, yeah, I tell you, brother, like... So what I
That's
do,
real.
What I do, like I'm 250 pounds, you know, I use my method of running through check marks, and I have a video, actually recorded the run. I ran a half a mile in 3 minutes flat, you know, at 240 pounds, just from a 3-month running regimen of every day, make a check mark every day. That was a time I had woke up hungover or whatever, and I didn't run yet that day, and I still made it to the gym. And it was the curviest treadmill I ever ran on, but I made that mile. You know what I mean? And you have to let go of feelings. You have to let go of motivation. You just have to check that. Just make that check mark. Keep it simple, right? I listened to a very controversial character, Andrew Tate, and I know there's a lot of hate going on about him and this and the other. The thing is we're all human. Whatever I 100% believe to be true for me is not the whole truth. I can still learn, right? So when I go listen to a motivational speaker like David Goggins, I don't care much for him, but there is something I can draw from his philosophy that I can put onto mine. Same with Andrew Tate, same with Jay Shetty. There's a ton of people out here who are saying things and you don't need 100% of what they're saying. You just got to find something that they're saying that works for you and take that portion of it. So I listen to Andrew Tate because he literally calls me a bitch. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not a bitch. I'm running. Right?
I've heard some of his stuff before, so I know what you're talking about.
I ran my fastest full mile listening to Andrew Tate talk, not music. Just him telling me how terrible
I'm kind of the same way. Music is all right, but I do kind of like, I like the motivation in the background.
So be that, man. Don't wait for it to happen because nobody's going to pick you up and help you do it. But you will find, like you said, as you get close to your goal of I want to do 16 check marks this month, and you notice you're on the 18th day of the month and you got two more check marks to go, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to stop? Or are you going to add a couple more squares? Like, well, let me go ahead and get it to 25 then, you know?
Yeah.
So you can do that. You can adjust as you go. But what you will be doing is you'll be investing in yourself and in your consistency. And in 3 months, you won't recognize whatever, however far you can throw a ball right now. If you spent 3 months working on it, pretty sure it'll be farther. You know what I mean? Like physical attributes are the easiest plans to make. Lift a weight, throw a ball, this or that. You can literally make a plan and actually see it happen. It's the internal stuff. You know, I want to be more patient. How do you work on patience? I tell you what you don't do. You don't ask the Lord for patience because what he's going to do to you next.
Not going to give you patience. It's going to give you everything but that.
Yeah. So it'll test you on it. But other than that, man, like, especially if it's a physical thing, that's where we all start, man. Part of the plan is get up, drink some water, go for a run, you know, like be physical because it's required as a man that you can physically do things better than somebody.
Yeah.
Be it shooting, be it, you know, throwing.
I like that.
Set those goals. Well, this is awesome. Kyle?
Yes, sir. I
appreciate you doing this with us.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the questions, the insight, the vulnerability. It's a big thing. It's good. You're showing the world and the guys out there that it's okay to, like, just talk about it. Get it out there. Hey, this is where what I'm afraid of. I'm 21 and I'm saying these things and I don't have the answers. That's cool. None of us.
That's awesome. Yeah. We didn't do that.
We went through hell in order to find some of the answers. And the goal is to spread it to the next generation, which would be you, so that when my kid, who's 8 now, he's going to have questions and hopefully a lot more answers are out there for him. It's all about helping. It's about, it takes a village. It really does. Yeah. But I appreciate your time. Fred, as always. You're ugly. And Cobra, always a good time.
Yeah, dog.
And everybody out there, I appreciate you. Everything that you guys are on this train with us, one family, like I said, takes a village. And I appreciate you guys being here and look forward to hearing from you soon. Be sure to like and subscribe to this stuff. We're going to be doing a lot more often. We're taking YouTube by storm. That's our goal. For all the guys out there, know that there's a village for you. If you don't think that there is, it's right here. Go to the website, stripdraw.com. We're here for you. We're always here for you, and we are building a huge community.
And for the ladies out there, if you know a man that doesn't have a village, send him our way. Brother, cousin, uncle.
Dad.
Send him our way.
Got you. Let's make this a better world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother.